This morning I'll be reading from Matthew 5, verse 5, which says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." And Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11, a psalm of David. "Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass they will soon wither, like green plants they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity." Will you pray with me? Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We've been thinking together about what it means in our vision statement to follow Jesus daily. That's the vision that we believe we are called to live out as we discern together in our time during the transition process. And the best place, I believe, to find out what that looks like is in the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' inaugural address of what it means to follow him and to be his disciple. We have seen that happiness, as defined in Scripture, is the happiness that the soul experiences as it finds contentment and peace and joy in a personal relationship with Jesus. And we saw that happiness is found in those who are poor in spirit, those who know that they're spiritually bankrupt, those who know that they have not loved God and others as they ought, those who are broken and know that they missed the mark, who desperately need Jesus, and they'll inherit the kingdom. They live in the rule of the King, Jesus. And then we saw last week that blessed are those who mourn, the sadness and sorrow that comes from missing the mark and loving God and others. Much like when Peter denied Jesus three times in the temple courts. And there was a time period in the trial of Jesus that when the third time that Peter denied him, Jesus looked at him and their eyes met. And Peter saw clearly what he had done. And he went out and mourned for his sin because he had missed the mark. It says he went out and he wept bitterly. Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted, knowing that Jesus paid the price and that someday all sin will be wiped away when he comes again. But today, we come to that beatitude. I think that might be misunderstood more than any other beatitude of the eight of them. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We're going to talk about meekness for a while this morning and really seek to understand it from a scriptural standpoint. Meekness is not weakness. It's not weakness. Jesus is called meek and humble and gentle. And yet Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple. And he was angry at them for they were turning the house of God into a den of robbers and thieves, he said. So meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not mousy, meaning that you don't stand up for anything. It doesn't mean that at all. We know that Jesus stood up for many things. Moses, Abraham, they all stood up for many, many things. Meekness is also not being a doormat where people just walk all over you all the time and your needs are never met. These are not definitions of what meekness is. If we're going to have a definition of meekness, we have to look at the Scriptures as the Scriptures define meekness, not as the world describes it. And so, instead of waiting ways to the end, I'm going to give it to you right at the beginning. From a scriptural standpoint, meekness is to have your strength under control, under the control of the Holy Spirit. Meekness is having your strength under the control of the Holy Spirit. Meekness is closely aligned to gentleness in the Scripture, is closely aligned to self-control. These are fruits of the Spirit. And so when we think about meekness, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's having your strength under the control of the Holy Spirit. It concentrates all its energy on trusting God and putting others before our own self-agenda. And that takes tremendous strength. It takes tremendous strength to trust God and put others before our own self-agenda. It's the opposite of arrogance and the pride and ego and self-exaltation and haughtiness, self-will. And what we do, we have a portrait of meekness in Psalm 37 in the passage of Scripture that Brian read for us this morning. There's a portrait of what meekness is, and it's really helpful to look at Psalm 37 so that we can understand what Jesus is even talking about when he says, "Blessed or happy are the meek." The first thing we notice in Psalm 37 about those who are meek is that they trust in God. Notice in verse 5, trust in Him and He will do this. The first step in meekness is to trust God and believe that God will work for them and vindicate them when others oppose him. Biblical meekness, you see, is rooted here in this deep confidence in God, the great God that we've been talking about in song and in Scripture this morning, how great God is. And that God is for you and not against you. Do you think about that in your daily life? That in all of the situations that you face day to day, that God is for you and not against you. God wants you to live for His glory. God wants you to have a happy marriage. God wants you to do your best for His glory. He's for you. He is not against you. He desires that our church be a place where we love God and others. He's for us in that. He's not against us. Do we trust God in that? In every situation, that God is for you. See, that's the foundation of meekness. But then notice what David says. They will commit their way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. In other words, there's that trust. And then commit their way to God. The Hebrew word for this literally means to roll. To roll. Meek people have discovered that God is trustworthy. He's for them, not against them. And so they roll all of their ways, their problems, their relationships, their health, their fears, their frustrations, they roll all of this onto the Lord. And it takes the weight off your soul. It takes the weight off your heart and mind. You see, they admit that they're insufficient, poor in spirit, to cope with the complexities and the pressures and the obstacles of life. And they trust that God is able and willing to sustain them and guide them and protect them. And so they roll all of this onto Him. They commit their ways to the Lord. So they trust, they commit. And then it tells us in Psalm 37 that they're still before God and wait for Him. Be still before the Lord, it says in verse 7. And wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Wait patiently, it says. It doesn't mean we become lazy. It doesn't mean we don't do anything. It means that they're free from frenzy. Do not fret. Don't get all in a frenzy. Don't get all in a snit when things aren't going your way. Don't blow up and fall apart and explode. And no, this David says, be still. Wait patiently. It's a steady calm that comes from knowing that God is all-powerful, as we saw in Psalm 139, that He has their affairs under His control, and that He's gracious, and He's going to work things out for your best in your life. And so there can be that quiet, peaceful steadiness in the midst of upheaval, in the midst of things that can cause you anxiety, but you're not filled with frenzy. You're not fretting. Because that's if you hear in your head, in the midst of difficult things, in the midst of upheaval, you hear in your head and in your heart, God saying to you, I got this. I got this. I knew that this was coming. I got it. Trust me. Commit your way to me. Still. And notice, really, for me, the fourth step in that is also in verse 7, what I read. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. They don't fret themselves over the wicked who prosper in their ways. Or as verse 8 says, they refrain from anger. In other words, their family and their work and life are in God's sovereign's hand. They trust Him. They wait patiently and are still to see how His power and goodness is going to work out. And so in the midst of setbacks and obstacles and opponents of life, it doesn't bring this kind of bitterness and anger and fretfulness that is so common in our lives. And we can just get caught into that so easily. But David says meekness comes by trusting God. It commits its way to the Lord. Confidence that He's going to use His mercy and power to do good in your life. And then you wait patiently and are still for the outcome. It doesn't give way to anger and fretfulness when faced with opposition and setbacks. Meekness at its very foundation is knowing that God is a great God. He's awesome, powerful, almighty. He's big beyond anything that we can comprehend or imagine. And He knows you and loves you and says to you, I got this. I got this. So we're released from that fretful anger. We're released from that frenzy in our lives when we know God. And so I want us to see an example of this in Scripture, of someone who exhibits this kind of meekness. It's really described to us in Numbers 12 in an account of Moses' life. Moses was chosen by God to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Think about that. He is chosen by God to lead these thousands of people out of Egypt to the promised land. It would have been easy to get a big head. It would have been easy to begin to think you're pretty important. But that was never really the case with Moses. One instance comes in Numbers chapter 12. describes a time in the midst of these travels from Egypt to the Promised Land. He was criticized. His leadership was criticized. And it's described in Numbers 12, verses 1 through 4, when Miriam and Aaron began to criticize him severely. It says, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married. Kind of a personal attack. For he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Notice the jealousy. Notice the envy that's coming in. Has he not also spoken to us or through us? And the Lord heard it, it says. And then there's this kind of parenthetical statement in the midst of that story. It says, now the man Moses was very meek, more than all men that was on the face of the earth. And it goes on, and suddenly, the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tent of the meeting. God heard it. He heard what was going on. And he had invited all three to come outside the camp to the tent of the meeting. Notice, Moses hasn't done a thing yet. Now, what's the point of really calling Moses meek right in the middle of that story? I think the point is that meekness means committing your cause to God and not always having to defend yourself. Just where we would expect the text to tell us what Moses said to justify himself against the charge of Miriam and Aaron, you know, we could have very easily seen, now, hey, wait a minute, Miriam and Aaron, remember that God called me as the one to lead the people out of Israel. He didn't call you. He called me. Moses could easily have said that and been right. That would have been true. But he didn't. He doesn't say a word. Instead, he waits patiently for the Lord. And he doesn't fret over the critical words. And God comes to his defense. So, we can add to that portrait of meekness, that meekness trusts God, that meekness commits its way to God, and waits patiently for God, and refrains from anger, but we can add to it, it also refrains from revenge and defensiveness. Meekness loves to give place to the vindication and the vengeance of God, and we leave it in His hands. Meekness is that power to absorb adversity and criticism without lashing back. So here we can begin to see a full portrait of what this meekness looks like. Meekness begins when we put our trust in God. And because we trust Him, we commit our way to Him. We roll all of our life onto Him. We roll onto Him our anxieties, our frustrations, our plans, our relationships, our jobs, our health. We roll them all onto Him. And then we wait patiently for Him. And we trust His timing and His power and His grace to work things out in the best way for His glory and for our good. And the result of trusting God and rolling of our anxieties on God and waiting patiently for God is that way we don't give way to quick and fretful anger. We don't explode. But instead, like Moses, we hand our cause over to God and let God vindicate us or carry out His vengeance. And then to add to that, in James 1:19, in this quiet confidence, we're slow to speak and quick to listen. And if there comes a time when a word must be said to a person who's caught in sin or error, and we do that, in Galatians 5:1, it says we are to speak from the deep conviction of our own frailty and fallibility and our own susceptibility to sin and utter dependence on the grace of God. We speak to those who have fallen. Meekness begins with God and ends with God. And it says those people will inherit the earth. They will inherit the earth. First, that means that we'll ultimately reign on earth with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the coming kingdom when He comes again. Everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to us. Not just wealth or land or property, we get the whole world. We get the whole world. And we also can know the peace of God in our present circumstances. We inherit the earth here. John Calvin, our spiritual forefather, wrote these words: "We will inherit the whole earth with thankful, free, and open hearts, and we will enjoy the good things which God in His goodness provides for us here. We are assured, too, that we will always be at peace, whatever troubles we are in." People spend billions of dollars to have peace in their lives and in their hearts. And here we have the promise that if we are meek, if we trust, commit, be still, and wait, then we'll have peace in all of our circumstances. And we truly do inherit the earth. So I want to end with another example from Scripture. Another one of the heroes of the faith, a man by the name of Abraham, in the book of Genesis. We see it in action in him as well, in Genesis chapter 12. Abraham, we know, it was called to leave his home and go to a distant place, and he would be given a land, a destiny, a people, a nation. And so as Abraham left, he took his nephew Lot with him. We see that in Genesis 12. But in Genesis 13, we come across a story where there's some fighting and quarreling going on. It seems that the herdsmen, or the shepherds of Lot, are fighting with the herdsmen and the shepherds of Abraham. And they're quarreling and fighting over land. And it's not a good situation. Who gets the pasture? Well, Abraham certainly could have said, "Look, Buster," to Lot, his nephew, "who got the covenant promises, me or you?" "It was me, sonny. So back off. You are just a hitchhiking relative." Abraham had the right. He was the man that God had called to leave his land and to become the father of many nations. He had called him. And Abraham knew that. But how did Abraham deal with it? Notice. In Genesis 13, 8 and 9, he says, "Let's not have quarreling between you and me, or between your herders and mine, your shepherds and mine, for we're close relatives. Is not the whole land before us? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." Lot got to choose. Abraham had the power, but it was under control. It was in submission to God. And he knew in his heart that God was in control. He knew in his heart that God was going to work it out for his good. And Lot chose the right side, which we know in the rest of the story that that wasn't a great choice. But he chose the right side. And as he did, God would work it out for Abraham's benefit. You see, his power, his strength was under control of God's Spirit. And he placed it in God's hands. Do we see how meekness plays itself out in very practical ways? But it begins with God and ends with God. It begins with trusting Him, committing our ways to Him, being still before Him and waiting for Him, knowing that God is working for our good and for His glory. Because God is sovereign, He's big, He's great and mighty. You see, those who have chosen to follow Jesus daily, as we have said that that's our desire, to follow Jesus daily, are meek and gentle. They are the ones who are filled with the Holy Spirit, and therefore exhibit incredible strength, knowing above all else that God is big. God has got it. God is big and God has got it. And we don't have to push and shove. We don't have to intimidate. We don't have to force ourselves. We can wait. And the promises we inherit, everything.